Brother Keith's already said, the altars are always open, and they are. God speaks to you, and you feel like praying, you're welcome to come down, whether we're singing, preaching, especially at the end of the service when we give an open public invitation. But I'll tell you, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, there's no greater decision you'll ever make in your life.
Amen.
Than to decide that you're going to accept Christ and follow Him. If you're here and you're saved and you got problems and issues, well, you're just one of many, but you're in the right place to get help. You can come down and you can ask the Lord and He'll help you. If you're going through a trial or a valley, I want to tell you something. God wants to help you. God wants to bring you out. I got something different this morning. This is a thought, a message that God laid on my heart a couple of weeks ago, and I've been praying and studying on it for a couple of weeks. And a lot of times I say this, and I thank God for speaking to me. As a lot of times I'll get up here and I'll preach. I'll say, I ain't never preached on that before. This is kind of one of those subjects that I've never really preached on like this. I'm going to be reading in several different places, starting in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8. But here's the title of the message this morning. It's How to Live on the Mountain. Now, you say, well, I don't feel like I'm on a mountain. Well, I want to talk about that this morning. But I want to talk about how to live on the mountain. You just pray that I'll obey God and follow Him, and He'll lead me, and He'll help us. Now, I want to read Numbers 14:8 first, and I want you to see something that God is saying to the children of Israel in the Scripture. He says this, it says, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And here's the first thing I want you to understand, and this is why I wanted to read this verse, is that God wants to bless you, okay? God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your family. God wants to bless your household. God wanted to bless the children of Israel. He went over there to Israel, to Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out so He could bless them. He wanted to bless them. And, you know, I studied a little bit about where these spies went over into Jericho, and they started seeing all the blessings that God had over there in that land. And God said, I'm going to give you this land. A couple of them came back, and Moses, you know, had led the people as far as he could. And Joshua said, let's go. God's got it for us, it's ours. But you know, the people started murmuring. They said, there's giants in the land. There's trouble. We can't defeat those people. But here's what God said. If you'll just follow me, I'm going to give you all that. And what I want you to understand, just like God said to them, I'll bless you if you'll follow me. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your household. He wants to bless your home. He wants to bless your children. God wants to bless this church. Now, when we look at this, so many times people say, well, I don't feel like I'm on the mountain. Well, I want to give you a couple of verses of Scripture that came to my heart as I begin to study this lesson. This is in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 7. This is what the Scripture says. It says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. You know, that verse right there, a couple of weeks ago, I was with a man counseling with him. I got a call, and he was in trouble. I went and I sat down with him, and as I went into his home and I looked around, I thought how God had blessed him. God had blessed him with a business. God had blessed him with a beautiful home. God had blessed him with so much. And as I sat there and talked to him, trying to help him, he had relapsed on cocaine. And as I began to talk to him, this Scripture came to my heart. And I said, when you look at what God's done for you, you've been sober for this many months. Look at how God's blessed your home. Look how much your wife loves you. Look how God has blessed your business. I said, what caused you to be riding down the road with all of these blessings and just make that turn and go into the wrong place? And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke to me and gave me this verse of Scripture right here out of Proverbs. And I spoke to him because I knew what happened. You know what happens to us is we get used to being blessed. We get used to God pouring His hand out on us. We get used to the goodness of God. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? We get bored with it. We think it's something that'll be there every day. And rather than praising God for it and going forward, and there's some meat in this, I'm going to get to it in just a minute, is the Bible says that the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. Now, I don't know about you, but I can remember a time in my life that I wasn't as blessed as I am today. I can remember a time when I used to go to work with my dad, and we'd go out there, and we didn't have what I've got today. We didn't have the blessings that we have. We didn't have iPhones, and all the kids have one. I didn't have 10 sets of shoes in a pocket, in the closet. And now, we didn't do without, but we didn't have what we got today. And I can remember when I used to go to work with him, and my mother would make us potted meat sandwiches. How many of you remember a potted meat sandwich? Okay, now, and you know the Buddy ham, remember that, the little thin ham? And she'd make the sandwich, and you know, living on a budget, there wasn't but so much meat on that sandwich. And I can remember going to work and with my dad and eating that, and my dad believed you ought to work. He told me this one time. He said, if a man works for 50 cents an hour, he ought to give you an honest day's work. If he works for $50 an hour, he ought to give you an honest day's work. And by the way, he was paying me 50 cents an hour. But I can remember those times, and I can remember that even though we didn't have a lot, I tell you what we did have. We had peace with God. And we did an honest day's work that it's hard to get men to do today. But now you fast forward about 35 or 40 years in my life, and I want to tell you where I'm at. I can eat anything I want. I can go anywhere I want. And if I'm not careful, I'll forget the goodness of God, and I'll find myself in trouble. That's why that man going down the road in that $75,000 truck turned and went in to take cocaine, because he got bored with the blessings of God. There's so much in this. Listen to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 8. It says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I want you to listen close to this verse of Scripture. This man knew that he needed to be limited because he couldn't handle a whole lot. You know, there are people like that today. If God blesses them too much, they're in trouble. Here's what it says. God, don't give me more than I can handle. Because you know if I am blessed too much, I'm going to forget you. If I'm too poor, I'm going to steal and I'm going to cheat and I'm going to lie. But if you bless me too much, I'm going to get out of your will and I'm not going to follow you. Coming to your house is not going to be important to me. Doing your will is not going to be important to me. So keep me right in the middle, God. Don't bless me too much, but don't let me get too little either. I want to tell you something, folks. God don't want us to live that way. God don't want us to. What God wants to do is open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us that we cannot contain. But he's got to be first in our lives. Amen. He's got to be number one. Now, this is a sad way to be, but I want to tell you one thing that I like about this man. He had enough wisdom to know that he'd rather have less and stay right with God. You ever thought about that? You see, God knows what some people can handle. It's almost like, you know, God knows. Have you ever wanted a promotion and not get it? I have. I remember one time I was at work, and the guy that ran the place, he was leaving, and you know, I'd been there a little bit, and I worked hard, and I was there every day, and when they hired a new manager, I was upset. I mean, I was offended. You know what I thought? I thought, they didn't even ask me. They didn't even ask me. They didn't even interview me. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, if I'd have wanted you to have that job, there ain't a person in this building that could keep you from getting it. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you know what we ought to get to the point we can do? Is just say, yes, Lord. Because God knows what we can handle and what we can't. That's why a lot of people are in the shape they're in today. It's because they can't stay with God if he blesses them too much. Okay? Now, I want to talk about how to live on the mountain. And I want to give you a quote. And I've heard this before. And I've said it before. Heard it years ago, and I want to tell you something. It is ingrained in my soul. And it came from Charles Stanley. I used to listen to him a lot on the radio, and here's what he said. He said, adversity makes men, but prosperity makes monsters. It ought not to be that way, folks. That's not God's plan. That's not God's intention. Now, the question is that really true? Well, if you look at the verses in the book of Proverbs, There's a man there that understood that it was true. Okay? Does it? Here's the question, though. Does it have to be true? Now, y'all know I like gospel music. I love the songs they played a little bit ago. I went up there this morning and I gave them this outline. I didn't have any songs. I said, well, I don't have any. I said, but I do have one. If y'all pull them up, don't play this song. And I want to give you what the song was. Have you ever heard this song? It's a gospel song. It's been around a long time. It says, the Lord knows I can't live on the mountain, so he picked out a valley for me. How many of you are familiar with that song? He leads me to beside the still waters, somewhere in the valley below. He draws me aside to be tested and tried, but in the valley he restores my soul. I want to tell you something. I don't want to have the kind of relationship with my God to where I say, the Lord knows I can't live on the mountain, so he's got a place down in the valley that's my permanent dwelling. I want to tell you that is not God's plan for your life. You don't have to live there. You don't have to go there, but you need to learn how to live when you get on the mountain. Because God's got a plan on top of the mountain for you. Now, sometimes I have to go down in the valley. But when I get down there, I'll tell you, the very first thing I do is I get as low as I can get, as fast as I can get, because I want to listen to what God's saying to me and be obedient to God, because I'm ready to get back to the top of that mountain. I don't like being down there. You see, sometimes people have to stay there and stay down there because they won't give the things to God that belong to God while they're on top of the mountain. Now, I want to give you a few things that I want to keep on the mountain, folks. Here's number one that came to my heart and my mind. It's my church. I want this church to stay on the mountain. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, would you go to church? Yeah, I went to church. Would y'all have a good service? It was kind of dry. Why? Why is it kind of dry? I don't want to go to a church that's dead. I want to go where the singing's good. I want to go where the Spirit moves. I want to go where people serve God and worship God and raise their hands in prayer. I don't want to go to a place to where you go in and you feel worse when you left than you did when you got there. There's churches like that. I heard a guy say one time that this is one of my Bible college professors, and I thought if I felt that way, I wouldn't have said it. He said, the average Baptist church will kill you. And I thought, woo. I don't want that, do you? I mean, I want God to be free in this place. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord comes down. I want God to be here. I want this church to be on the mountain. Let me tell you what we got to have. We got to have Spirit-filled worship services, and we got to come in seeking something from God. We got to walk in unity, and we got to surrender to the will of God when we come in this place. I want that. What about in my home? I don't want my home to be in the valley. Now, how many of you men like arguing with your wife all the time? I don't. I don't. There's times that my wife will get with me and I'll be listening. And you know what I'm thinking? I need to listen. Because I don't like it when she's, you know. Y'all seen the story of the little poodle and the chihuahua? And the chihuahua's got his eyes squinted and that poodle's right in his ear like that. I don't like that. I don't want those. There are times, and let's just be honest, guys, you are not right all the time. You're not. And there's times that you might have to have that in your ear for you to get right. And I want to tell you, I don't like it when it's not peaceful. I like it when my wife is loving and she wants to be near me and she enjoys spending time with me and we can have peace together. You know what that takes? Sometimes I have to get my foot out of my mouth because I've stuck it all the way down to my throat. Folks, I want my home to be on the mountain. There are times even dealing with my children, and I love my children. You know what it's like raising them? No, they're not all the same. Forget what you learned on the first one. There are times I make mistakes, but I want to make the right decisions. You ever made a bad decision? You get down in that valley. You know what I'm doing? I'm down there. I said, all right, Lord, I'm here, but let me get back up there. Let me learn everything I can learn right here so I can get back up there. What about this? Another place I want to keep on the mountain is my job. How many of you like going to a job and when you get there, you hate your boss? You get there and you dread it. You get up in the mornings. You know, now there are a lot of things that affect that. I can't cover it all today. But I'll tell you the number one thing that affects me and my job is me when I walk in. It's me. I had a lady one time tell me, and her husband is a friend of mine, and he's the kind of guy, he's in the woods here, and he's in the woods there, and he's in the lake there, and he's over there. And I heard them ask her one time, they said, how in the world do you stay married with him being the way he is? He's always off gone doing something, hunting, fishing, or whatever. You know what she said? This is where the attitude gets right. She said, I found that having a good marriage is not marrying the right person, but being the right person. Now, ladies, that don't mean your husband can just do anything. Okay, guys, don't get it wrong. But I want to tell you something. When she said that to me, it brought me back to that place when I'm in the valley. You know, it's easy to be in the valley, and it's everybody else's fault. It's her, it's him. But what about me, okay? What about another place I want to keep on the mountain? What about my circumstances? There are circumstances that we go through in life. There are trials, there are burdens, there are troubles upon troubles. And I preached a message a few weeks ago or maybe a few months ago about problems. And you know what? Every one of us in this building's got problems. Every one of us. But I'll tell you what, when trials come and troubles come, I don't want to stay down there. I've gone through trials, and I went through one. I was thinking about it back in September. It was the anniversary of something that I dealt with at work that was very heavy. You know, and I went through it, and a year come and gone, and I thought about it. But I want to tell you something. When troubles come, get low on your face before God. I don't want to stay in the valley. Now, I want to talk about some things that may help us spend more time on the mountain. Or you could look at it this way, how to act or live while we're on the mountain. So when you are in your relationship with God and you're walking with God and, you know, things are good and God is blessing you, how are you going to act while you're up there? You know, if you've ever studied about the 23rd Psalm and read the book by Philip Keller about the 23rd Psalm, he talks about the things that you go through while you're down in the valley and while you're going up. Folks, I don't like the going up. I don't like the going down. I don't like the valley. I like the mountain. Okay? That's what I like. But if I'm going to stay up there very long, here's some things that God has showed me that you need if you're going to stay up there. And if you're up there, here's one of them right here. Stay humble. Number one. Stay humble. You know, if we want God to bless this church, if I want God to bless my marriage, if I want God to bless me at work, here's what our first thing, and this is our motto, it's not about me, it's about Him. Amen. It's not about us, it's about Him. We stay humble before God. You know why sometimes people get in trouble? They get that promotion, they get the big head, and it changes them. You ever work with somebody and they're your coworker, and all of a sudden they get promoted and they turn into Frankenstein? They're not going to be there long. They're going right back down. But you know, if we stay humble in the presence and the eyesight of God, and we realize it's not about us, it's about Him, then you know what happens? God might be more inclined to let us stay there just a little bit longer. And I want God's hand on me and what I do. And if I'm going to have it there, it can't be about me. It has to be about Him. You see, sometimes what happens is people think more highly of themselves than they should. You ever seen somebody be in a meeting, maybe at work, or somebody at church, or somebody talking, and you know, you come walking up and they get quiet? That don't offend me. Here's why. I figure if I need to know, they'll tell me. I used to see people at work, my boss, you know, that I had for a while, he'd have a meeting and they wouldn't invite me. I'd hear people say, well, they didn't even invite me. Well, I figured if I needed to go, they'd tell me. I got enough troubles of my own without hearing everybody else's. So I stay humble and I give what I have to God and surrender to Him. See, here's why. Have you ever heard the phrase, jerking the rug out from under you? I don't want God to jerk no rugs out from under me. So when I'm up there on the mountain and God has blessed me, I want to stay right with Him. I want to stay humble. I tell you what else you can't do. And people do this every day. Don't take God's glory. See, all the glory belongs to God. You know, give God His glory. Give God His praise. That's why we come here. I love to worship. And I love worship songs. And if God has blessed you, give Him the glory. Yes. If you're here this morning and you can sing like a bird, it's only because God blessed you. If you're here and you're pretty and you've got more hair than me, don't brag. It's because God blessed you. You know, sometimes I think people, I don't understand them. You know, they look down at somebody else and they frown on somebody else. When I was born, I didn't choose to be born a white male. I did not choose. And you know, some people, they say it's like this. They win the gene pool. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever seen anybody 85 years old, smoke since they was 14, never had a health problem, don't take a pill? They won the gene pool. Here I am, I'm in my 50s, and I told my wife the other day, I said, I hurt all over. I said, everything I see on TV, I think I've got it. She said, you can't have that, only women get it. I said, I've got all the symptoms. Now, she's told me that more than one time. She's shaking her head, but you know how people are. It's funny. It's funny. It's like, look at me. Look at me. You wouldn't be that way if it wasn't for God blessing you. You know how to stay on the mountain? Quit taking God's glory. Give Him what belongs to Him. That's why it don't bother me if when somebody wins the ball game, they do this. When somebody, you know, it's funny. I know it's funny to God when they're praying on both sides. But when you have victory, when you have success, give God the glory. It belongs to Him. It is okay to say it happened because of God. What about this? Stay appreciative. Have we been blessed for so long that we've forgotten where we came from? You see, I can tell you, I can remember a time in my life when my wife and I first got married, I had a black D50 Mitsubishi. Some of you might remember what that is. I burned 4 quarts of oil a day. Now, I'm not kidding. I'd go down the road and I would actually take the burnt motor oil out of the truck when they changed the oil on the work trucks, and I'd put it in gallon jugs and I'd put it in my truck. It was a 4-cylinder running on 3. And that's what I had when we got married. And I can remember a time that I looked at my mom and daddy. They lived up in LJ in a double wide trailer. And I told my mother, sitting right back there, I said, I will never have what y'all got. I can't see it. I was driving 81 miles one way, making $7.50 an hour, burning 4 quarts of oil a day. I'd use that recycled oil. And, you know, I look back on those times today. We get to remember where God brought us from, remember how good God's been to us. You know why you can't stay on the mountain? Because you get up there and you forget the God that brought you there. We need to stay appreciative and be thankful and give Him thanks that He deserves. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You know, sometimes the problem we have is we don't see God's blessings. And I'll say this, you know, sometimes I've counseled with married couples and young couples, teaching in Sunday school for most of my life. There's a lesson I did one time. I said, next Sunday, I said, I want everybody to bring their picture albums. Bring your picture albums. If you got, you know, some scrapbookers, they come in with a wagon. Bring your picture albums. What are we going to do? We're going to look at the pictures. Sometimes I don't understand people. They get up on a mountain and God's blessing them and they forget where they came from. Sometimes you need to open that book and you need to look at that wedding picture. Sometimes you need to look at that time when that first child was born and you stood by that woman's side and you held her hand and you said you loved her and you said, well, things ain't like that today. What happened to you? Sometimes you need to look at the birthday parties and you need to look at the things that you walked through together, the times that you held hands and got down beside one another and prayed. And we need to realize that God has not changed. It's us that got on the mountain and forgot where God has brought us from.
Amen.
Stay appreciative. What about this one? And this one right here is a big deal for me. Is pay attention and listen when God speaks to you. There's been times in my life that God has spoke to me. And it's just like, you know, sometimes the Bible says, think it not strange concerning the strange trial that is to happen that is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. There's been times I've had things happen in my life, and I say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm listening. I don't know what you're trying to teach me, God, but I'm listening. And when those times come, you know, all of a sudden it's like that rug is jerked out from under you. You find yourself going from all the way up there. It's not a journey down. You're in the valley. And you're on the bottom and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And you know what I'm doing? I'm down on my face before God. And I'm saying, God, whatever it is you're trying to teach me, let me learn it. Let me listen. Let me pay attention, God, because here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to have to go back through the same thing over and over again because you, my God, my Lord, are trying to teach me something and I'm not listening to you. Do you know what happens at the crossroads of life when you make the wrong turn? You end up right back at the same place. That's why people end up, Brother Tom, right back in jail. That's why they end up right back on drugs or right back into alcohol. That's why they end up right back in trouble, because when they get to that crossroad, rather than following God, being humble before God, giving God glory and staying appreciative, they're just not listening to what God's saying. You see, you got to listen when God speaks. You got to listen when God is teaching. You got to listen when the trial comes and when the test comes and when the storm rushes in like a flood. You got to listen when the rug is jerked out from under you. This is a time to listen intently to the voice of God. Psalms chapter 66, I'm going to start reading in the 8th verse just for the sake of time. The psalm talks about the great works of the Lord. It says, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us and thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou bringest us into the net and laid affliction upon our loins. Now, I don't like that, but listen to the rest of it. Thou hast caused men to ride over their heads, and we went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest us into a wealthy place. You see, sometimes we go through the valley, sometimes we go through the fire, sometimes we go through the trial. But what God's intention is just like when he told Peter in Luke chapter number 22, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I've prayed for you that thy faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Here's what he's saying. There's a better end, and if you'll just walk the right path, you'll come through this valley, and you can stand up and give honor and glory to God. That's why we go through them. Job 23:10, Job said this. He said, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I once time heard a story of a refiner, and the Bible talks about being refined. It talks about it in Zechariah 13 and number 9, where the Lord tries and refines his people as silver is refined. The refiner was asked, he said, looking into the pot of gold, and he was purging the gold and cleaning the gold, he said, how do you know when the cauldron is hot enough? And what they would do is they would heat the gold, and if you know anything about this, they'd take the impurities that come to the top and they would scoop them around. It's called the dross, and they would throw it away. And here's what the refiner said as he was cleaning the dross and continuing to heat the pot. He said, I know that it's hot enough when I can see myself. You see, what God does when he takes us through the fire and through the valley, he's teaching us, he's molding us, he's forming us into the image of his glory. And the sooner we learn how to honor him and how to be what he has us to be, I want to tell you something. You can live on the mountain. You don't have to live in the valley. Amen. We serve a living God. Do we find ourselves there sometime? Yes, we do. I find myself there. But I'll tell you what I do when I get down there. And this is the last point. I remember where I came from. Remember the valley. Remember the trial. Remember who redeemed you. Remember that God has a standard. Bow before him. See, James 4:8 says this. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So when I'm in the valley and I know there are times I'm going to have to go down there, I know I'm still in the flesh and I'm still walking through this life and, you know, I'm not what I used to be, but thank God. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. Not everything that I'm going to be. Even Paul said he desired not to be unclothed but clothed upon because he had seen and he knew as long as he was in this flesh, he would never be what he wanted to completely be with God. But I'm going to keep pressing on that journey till Jesus comes. I'm not going to graduate from Sunday school. I'm not going to learn everything in the Bible, but I'm going to do my absolute utmost to listen to God when he speaks to me. And while I'm on the mountain and he's blessing me, I'm going to give him every ounce of the glory.
Yes.
I'm going to thank him. I'm not going to take for granted his blessings, but I'm going to bow before him and give him praise. I'm going to ask him to come with a song, and I want to give you the words of a song. This is an old song that Kendra and I used to sing. The name of the song is Remind Me, Dear Lord. It says, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only lets me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. It says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human. And humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. The last verse is this. I want to tell you something. God loves you. God wants to be the Lord of your life. It says, nothing good have I done to deserve God's own son. I'm unworthy of the scars in his hand. But he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I just can't understand. So remind me, dear Lord. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. God never intended for you to live in the valley. You might have to walk there, but I want you to understand something right now. God wants to bring you out. And the sooner we bow before him and submit to him and to his will, the sooner we can start our way back up.
Amen.
If you're hearing God spoke to you and you don't know that you're saved, I want to tell you the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is accept Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
Tell you the second most important thing you'll ever do is surrender. Say, God, whatever your will is for my life, that's the path I'm going to follow. Altars are open as they sing, as they play the song, whatever's on their heart. If you'd like to pray, somebody would love to pray with you right now. Go ahead.
Yeah.